You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
One by one, Satan strips Job of every good thing in his life, his family, his finances, and now his physical health. Will he continue to praise God in the middle of his trials? And what can we learn from Job about trusting God when it seems as if everything we care about is slipping through our hands? Well, that's what we're talking about today on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz, and before we begin, let's welcome Through the Bible's President Greg Harris, who's here to share with us what's happening at Through the Bible.
Well, what's happening, Steve, is that God is at work through his people to get his word out in amazing ways. And we want to talk about today the importance of something, a word that we take very seriously, and that word is
partnership.
Partnership, yeah.
Yeah, and a little different spin on that. You know, normally we talk about partners, ministry partners that are doing the word of God or going out and translating the work and that. But
right.
I really want to turn our attention more to partnership as it relates to you,
yes,
the listening audience. And we've just been so encouraged. A couple different examples that come to my mind is I was recently at a pastor's conference, and there was a woman who was serving coffee, and I wasn't even getting coffee. I walked by, and she actually recognized my lowly face from a picture,
wow.
Which when you do voice stuff, that's kind of weird. This lady's calling my name. And just had a wonderful, delightful conversation with, I believe her name was Elaine,
yeah.
And just how she loves Through the Bible, how she knew about our recent trips,
yeah.
Like to Uganda. She wanted to know if you were at the conference as well.
Yeah.
And I said, no, he's not at the conference. So just such an encouragement. And I've been praying, and you know, gave me her McGee story, how she's been listening for years. And the lady next to her, who was also serving from another craft, a Jewish lady who is now a believer, she got turned on to Through the Bible because of Elaine.
Yeah.
So thank you for both that advertising and for the prayer and all that those people are doing. And then my mind goes to a couple in my church, Carlos and Idurna. They are Cuban. They were both born in Cuba, came out of Cuba, and they love, and Carlos always mentions, every time we read a letter from a Cuban listener, he is so encouraged by that.
Yeah.
And he is just such an encouragement to me because I see him on Sunday mornings, and he's talking about what we were talking about during the program for the week.
Yeah. I mean, it does kind of amaze us. We sometimes like say, wow, people are actually listening to us. In fact, I said before we started, let's talk to the people that listen to us. And you laughed at that because you know, there's so many words out there that on the radio and the internet and everywhere. But we just want to express the reality and the genuineness of our gratitude and our sense of obligation to those of you that this is your ministry. Okay, it isn't Greg and Steve's or Greg and the board. It's or the staff. This is the listener's ministry, and we have more stories than we could tell time of our listeners who connect, create a ministry themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one that hit my email box today. Somebody said that they've gotten two reports that somewhere in Florida there's a huge billboard that says ttb.org.
Really?
Okay. And you know how expensive those things are.
I looked at doing it for my business.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't afford that.
And somebody cared enough to put ttb.org on a billboard. And I had heard that over the years, but this is a fresh testimony. And so remember the one where the person was hiking and they saw a rock with ttb.org?
That's okay. Don't be defacing anything in the national parks.
I know. We always have to.
Nobody wants to.
Yeah. That's always our caveat there. But look, the bottom line, what we just want to say is we value and we need you as a listener and as someone who supports, prays for, perhaps you support it financially in any way. You can be part of this ministry by just encouraging someone else to listen.
Yeah. And it's not just about Through the Bible. It's they're going to get into God's word in a way that they never have before. I mean, Dr. McGee's going to be the driver of the proverbial Bible bus. But you know what? They're going to be getting into Scripture themselves, and the Holy Spirit is going to use Dr. McGee, but primarily Scripture to teach that person and to give the work of sanctification to them. And that would just be such a gift that you could be a part of giving to someone by sharing the word through the Bible. I think about our Bible bus passes.
I was going there. That's great. Great minds. I love that. Yeah, I was going to say, if you haven't heard about our Bible bus passes, we have one that shares the ways that people can listen.
Yep.
It shares the way you can get the gospel to somebody. And then there's a third that is the booklets that Dr. McGee.
Yeah.
But the one we really like is that Bible bus pass where you can invite someone to listen.
Yeah.
So
it is very encouraging to hear all of these ways that you folks are interacting with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are such a faithful God, that you will make yourself known and you will make a way for people to come to Christ. I pray that you would continue to do that and that you would continue to use through the Bible in such a significant way in so many people's lives to disciple them and grow them in their faith. But also, Lord, for those who happen to listen just either on radio or because a friend told them, that you would have an impact on them and call them to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for this ministry. Thank you for your salvation that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we come to our study here today, and we're back in scene 4. We're back in heaven, by the way, and we find here that the Lord called Satan's particular attention to Job again. He said that this man still serves me. You said if I permitted you to take away from him everything, why, he'd turn his back on me, but he hasn't. He maintains his integrity. Now, verse 4 of chapter 2 of Job. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. You know, Satan is accurate about many of us, that there's a chink in our armor, that there is that Achilles heel that we've all got, there's that weakness, and when we get right down to the bare bones, why, we all cave in. But, you know, God has said to us that he's not going to permit any temptation to come to us, yet we're going to be defeated completely. But he always will, with the temptation, make a way of escape for us. And he never lets us bear more than we can stand. We ought to recognize that. And I don't know who you are, where you are, how you are, but wherever you are, why, whatever you're going through, God is able to sustain you. And he's not going to let you bear more than you can bear. That's a great comfort. I do not know what a day will bring forth. It could be tragic beyond words, or it could be a delightful, wonderful day. But whichever it is, God says, I'm going to enable you to get through it. Your armor will stand up. I'll see to that. And that's a wonderful thing to know. And Satan is a liar. He's a liar here. He says that Job, he'll give anything for his soul. And so what happens? Satan says, but put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Satan leaves the presence of the Lord. Now scene 5 comes before. Now he smites his body with sore boils, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Now, this is the 5th scene that we have before us. This man, of course, is being tested in every department and every part of his life. And actually, what Satan is attempting to do is to break him down, you see. He's lost his finances. He's lost his family, and his physical body is now being attacked. And there's seemingly no human explanation for the trouble of Job. It's not a punishment for any sin, and it's senseless without a proper insight. And that's the reason God gives it to us, the beginning of the book, so we will understand. Now, what was happening to Job was for a lofty and worthy purpose. There was a good and sufficient reason in the eternal counsels of God. And when all the facts were in, all the facets considered, God has a purpose in that. It was discipline. You can say it's good for Job. Well, it's like the old chestnut. You remember the father whipping little Willie and told him, says, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And little Willie says, yes, but not in the same place. That's true here, by the way. It's good for Job, but his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not ours. And we deliver our children from suffering. We prevent it. We give them everything we can afford to make life pleasant for them, and we spoil them. And we've got a spoiled generation today. A man said to me some time ago, I regret the day I gave my boy a car in college. I'm sorry I did it. Now, the day came when Job realized that there was something good was coming out of his experience, but he did not understand that at first at all. And it was good for Job. Now, it was for the glory of God. God's character has been impugned. Just think of that. I think the creatures in heaven, all these created intelligences, shuddered, the sons of God, when they heard this creature, Satan, cast that aspersion on God. You're not worthy to be loved. You have to pay him to love you. Pay Job to love you and serve you. And that is, God had paid lovers. He had to bribe Job. And that God is not worth loving because of himself. Well, are we time servers? God's good. God's merciful. We rejoice in his goodness. But when we're under trial, that's when we reveal our true metal, by the way. You know, the fires always burn out the dross. And testing reveals what's genuine. And we're to be lights in the world. Light is for darkness. And he puts us in the darkness so the light will shine. Now, God never promised today any of his children that they'd have an easy time. On the contrary, he promised a rough time to come. That's something that's difficult, by the way, to express. There's no pain, there'll be no palm. There has to be the suffering. No contest, no struggle. Well, there'll be no scepter either. It's difficult for us to bow under the awful hand of Almighty God. The reason Paul could say, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, what kind of trouble did Job have? We're told that he had sore boils and he scraped himself with a potsherd. That is a piece of broken pottery. You see, now the scene's going to move down. This last scene takes place on the dump heap outside of an oriental city, out where they dumped everything. Job was out there, picked up a piece of broken pottery, began to scrape himself. Must have been terrible. There's been a great deal of speculation among Christian doctors just what Job had. I'd like to pass on to you what a couple of English doctors several years ago in London said. Dr. Cedric Harvey, he suggested that Job, whose long-suffering affliction with a plague of boils that's described in the Old Testament, was a victim of psychosomatic dermatitis. Now, there's a good one for you. And the Word of God says he had boils. And this doctor says, and he's a Christian doctor, he has psychosomatic dermatitis. Well, that just shows what becoming a doctor will do for you. And that's a skin disease induced by anxiety. Well, I don't think that's the explanation myself, but the doctor couldn't diagnose it personally anyway, so I can contradict him. Then Dr. Harvey goes on to say that, and this was written up in a medical magazine, that a study of the Old Testament points up Job's insomnia, terrifying dreams, general state of anxiety, now generally accepted as symptoms of psychosomatic dermatitis. So when you have to scratch next time, you know what you got at least. It's psychosomatic dermatitis. Now, some years ago, Dr. Charles J. Brim, a New York heart specialist, diagnosed Job's illness as pellagra, a vitamin deficiency disease. Now, you can take your choice. I hope you won't mind if I just say he had boils. And there are some of us think he could have had cancer, by the way. But now, whatever it is, this man is in real trouble. And I'm going to mention next time how Satan is moving in on this man and taking away from him all that any man in dignity rests upon in this life. Now, will you notice here, we are now introduced to his wife, and listen to her. Verse 9, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" And Job did retain his integrity. Satan is beating at that. He's beating him down where he doesn't even want to call himself a man, you see. But he says, "Do you retain your integrity? Curse God and die." Now, that's a strange advice coming from a wife. Apparently, she wanted to be a widow. But she sees the suffering he's going through. And probably it's a tender suggestion. Doesn't sound that way. But this is a suggestion. And she says, "Curse God and die." Now, there have been those that take the position that Satan, you note, did not remove the wife of Job, removed everything else. And why? Well, she wasn't any help to him. In fact, she might do the devil's bidding, you see. And he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. This man Job, up to this point now, has maintained his integrity. And now, actually, the book of Job begins at this point, here at verse 11. You have here now the integrity of the man attacked. And three friends, that is so-called three friends of Job, come to visit now and comfort him. And we should get introduced to them. Verse 11, and I'm reading it. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Now, this, I think, is very important to see. First of all, Eliphaz the Temanite, we're going to get acquainted with all of them, by the way, he was a grandson of Esau, and that's in Genesis 36, verses 10 and 11. Now, Bildad, a Shuhite, Shua was a son of Abraham, and that's in Genesis 25, 2, by the way. And that puts him, you see, at the time of the patriarchs. And then you have Zophar, a Naamathite, and Naamah was in northern Arabia. So now we can locate places, and that, of course, must put Job in that area somewhere. Now these men come to mourn with Job. And since I'm going to say some very ugly things about his friends, I think probably we ought to say what we can say good about them. And they were friends until this happened. And this experience alienated them from Job. And the reason was they did not know God, nor did they know why God does certain things. And I think that's the reason that even today, many of us ought to be very careful about trying to explain why certain things happen to other people. We have no right to say, well, now God's let that happen to so-and-so for this reason. And then we generally tell the people the reason, and it isn't always a good one. Well, how do you know that's the reason? Now, these men were just as sure as we are today of why certain things happen, but they were entirely wrong. But they were friends of Job. And you'd say to me, well, how do you know? Well, listen to them. Verse 12, and when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle, sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights. And none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now these men had heard that their friend Job was in trouble. They didn't dream that it was as severe as it was. These men, at last time they'd seen him in a beautiful home, children around him, fine sons and daughters. They saw the wealth of Job spread out there upon the landscape. And now they come to visit their friend. They think at least that he must be in his home. He must still have a luxurious home, but he's out there at the dump heap of the town where they empty the garbage. And he's scraping himself with an old broken piece of pottery. And he doesn't have anything. It's all gone. Poor Job. And these friends, they were friends. They mourned. They wept, they howled, and for 7 days they sat down there and didn't say a word. They just sat with Job 7 days and 7 nights. I would say they're friends. That is, as far as they knew, they tried to be friendly to him, and they sat down with him 7 days. Now, they mourn with him during this full week, But they were in no position to comfort Job. To begin with, they do not understand God. Second, they do not understand Job. And third, they do not understand themselves. You know, they merely just shake their heads in a knowing manner during the 7 days of mourning. There they sit. They shake their heads. They're mourning for 7 days. But that shaking their head, may I say to you, that wasn't very good. And what we have here is this. Job comes in under, finally, their critical eye. These men, they're brilliant men. They're philosophers, all of them. Men in that day did a great deal of thinking. No 7 days, they're thinking. And they all come to one conclusion. They come to it from a different direction, that Job must be an awful sinner for these things to happen to him, and that God's punishing him, and he just better get his life straightened out. Now, that's the way that they come. Now, what we have here, finally, Job can't stand it any longer. They're beginning to shake their head in a knowing way, and that smirk on their face. Uh-huh. It finally comes out, Brother Job. You've been living in sin, and you gave the impression that you were such a pious individual. And now we know that this has come to you because your sin is out at last. Well, Job can't take that. He could take everything else that happened to him, but he can't take this. Now listen to him. And the first discourses of Job, and listen to the heartbreak of this man. And we won't be able to get through all of it, but we'll get into this. And I hope it'll give you something to think about. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there's a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. Now, this is beautiful speech, by the way, very flowery. But when you add it all up and you boil it down and strain it, what he says is this: I wish I hadn't been born. That's what he's saying. I just wish I hadn't been born. And how many times have you said that? Well, I'm of the opinion that many of us have said that, especially way back when we were young. You remember something disappointed us? We said, I wish I hadn't been born. Well, that's what Job is saying, only saying it in poetic language. Verse 6, as for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none, neither let it see the dawning of the day. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or go before me? Or why the breasts that I should suck? You see, this man, really, he's saying it, and he's saying it loud and clear. I wish I hadn't been born. And that, very interesting enough, never solves any of the problems of this life, friends. Just wishing that you hadn't been born. I wish that you could die. You'll never die by wishing it. And you can't undo the fact you've been born. So you're wasting your time doing that. No one ever gets hurt, though, doing this, other than it does let off a lot of steam. It does that for Job now, because these friends are not really going to be friendly to him from now on. But we'll have to wait and see that next time. May the Lord richly bless you, my beloved.
If, like Job, it seems like life is just falling apart and you feel like giving up, take Dr. McGee's word to heart. Wherever you are and whatever you're going through, God will sustain you. You can learn more by downloading his digital booklets, Why Do God's Children Suffer? And Job, A Man Stripped Bare, at ttb.org/booklets, or call 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you find them. I'm Steve Schwetz. I'll see you next time, and may God bless you as you walk with Him every day.
Jesus made it home. Unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Soon and very soon,
in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. On Wednesday nights, we have prayer and Bible study if you want to join in, and that telephone number is 732-434-2231. I repeat, 732-434-2231. That's on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Our church service times are at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday sharp. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Father, we thank you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise and honor and glory. We thank you for your word today. I pray that it will find its mark in the hearts of those that have tuned into the broadcast today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. Well, we are discussing today the final judgment, or perhaps the great white throne judgment, where many people will appear there that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And I pray today that if you don't know who Jesus is and have received him in your heart, this is a very good time to consider your position, because the time will come when you will stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he will read out, show you, and give you a panoramic view of the things that you could have done while you were here on this earth. The Bible tells us that this place is only for the wicked dead, those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Jesus came into this world to save us, not to condemn us. And many people today that have the opportunity, but they fail or perhaps refuse to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And I want to tell you that the Bible tells us that are born again that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing that, and very encouraging, that we know that if we exit this natural world, that we will be in the presence of God. And this means that all that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, Apostle Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's speaking of those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, that are born again. Now, the question comes up then, well, what would happen to those that exit this world that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I want to tell you today, the Bible is very clear. You cannot add or take away what has been said, and the Lord Jesus Christ gives us an illustration there in Luke 16, praise God, in verse 19. And the story tells us of Lazarus and the rich man. And we need to keep in mind that if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, the understanding there, and Jesus is speaking and he's telling us this through his word there, that to be with Lazarus and the rich man. So, Minister Glory, would you read the 19th, start from the 19th verse there, and we'll go down until the point has been made to let everyone out there in Radio Land know that these are crucial times, and the only way that one would be able to escape such a place of torment, which is not the final judgment, but it's a place that one will go if they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ until after the thousand-year reign. Minister Glory, would you read that?
There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell down from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom.
Well, I want you to understand there that there's two, that Jesus gives us the illustration there that Lazarus was escorted by the angels into the bosom of Father Abraham. The rich man, when he died, he was buried, and he lifted his eyes up in hell, being in torment. Now, what I want to let you understand today is that that is the place, it's called Hades. It is the place that everyone that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, that is their destination when they exit this natural world. They're not, it's called Hades. It's a place more or less like a holding tank there, because you're not going to be finally judged until God calls you up after the thousand-year reign, or perhaps after the millennium reign. So what is happening is that Jesus is giving us an illustration. First of all, as I previously stated, Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So those that know the Lord Jesus Christ will be present with the Lord. Now, those that do not know, have not received, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where they will wind up. But it's only a temporary place. It's not a final place. The scripture tells us that. And in Hades, the rich man lift up his eyes, or in hell, so to speak. And what happens is that they will be there in torment until the final judgment, until God Almighty will call them up for the final judgment. I don't say this or try and explain this with a great deal of joy. I feel for folks that have the opportunity today to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, and they reject Him. I also feel for folks that are religious but have not received the Lord Jesus Christ. They're just going through a motion. Those that are self-righteous, that feel that they are able to handle their own salvation, not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, all will find their place there in a place that's called Hades, and they will be there until after the thousand-year reign. Now, let's speed or move forward to what we're talking about, the final judgment, the great white throne judgment. That is the final judgment. That is where all things, the consummation of all things. And many people today say, well, oh, I still have time. I don't have to worry about that right now. But let me tell you something. You don't know the day or the hour that the Son of Man will come. And what I mean by that is the day that you will leave your physical body. You don't know. It can be now. It can be later on today. It can be at night while you sleep. But I want to tell you something. Make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That you have a relationship with Him. Now, this program is not tailored to only people that are born again. It's to those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as well. This is the most important program that one could even think of when we begin to tell you that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He came to seek and save that which was lost. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So we want to get that clear before we move into this final judgment. And if you have the opportunity right now, which most of you do, depending on what's going on at this present time, that you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You don't have to be in a building. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to follow the things that's going on in this world, you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that you will be saved if you repent of your sins. Now, Minister Glory, it is so important here that when we look at this, these scriptures here, this final judgment, this is after the thousand-year reign, after the millennium reign. Now, God will call up those that are in Hades, or perhaps hell, because hell will give up or be delivered up for this judgment. So what is happening is so important. And I think a lot about people that have gone on into eternity, perhaps from the natural perspective, their lives did not depict whether they were born again or they had given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is something that's in the hands of God. We are not to judge anyone. But the point is that they will, if they have not, they will wind up in that place called Hades. You know, it's a sad situation there, that there's nothing going on that will hinder you. All God wants you to do is to receive His Son as Lord and Savior of your life and live for Him.
Amen.
But because of all the accolades and the things that goes on in this world, people have turned their hearts away from God and begin to believe the lie that the enemy has told them. He has blinded them, controlling their mind with the things of this world. But we must understand that there is a final day of reckoning, the final day of judgment. And we all will be judged. Christians will, folks that know the Lord Jesus Christ, will not stand at this awful place to be judged. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 that for we all must appear at the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things that's done in our bodies, whether it's good or bad. To receive, not to be judged. There, that is a place for folks that know the Lord will receive rewards. But Minister Gloria, the wicked dead, those that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, will show up at this great white throne judgment. I know that it says after the millennium reign.
Yes.
Which is 1,000 years. As after the 1,000-year reign, those folks that are in Hades or in hell will be called up to stand before God and be judged according to their works, according to what they have done while they were here on earth. Let's look at what the Word of God says. The Scriptures speak for itself. I don't need to try and input anything but to just say what God's Word says. But I pray today that if you have not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, where will you spend eternity? It's either one place or the other. It's either heaven or hell. And I don't say this with a great deal of joy. I just want to let you know that the time will come. We all will leave this earth. We all. There aren't any exemptions. We all will die. And where will you spend eternity? So, Minister Gloria, would you read Revelation 20 and verse 11 and start from there, because it does not matter how much money you have, what your status is in society, who you are. It does not matter, because if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where you will show up and God will bring you up for the final judgment. So, Minister, would you?
And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
Now, we must keep in mind that this is the vision that God gave John. He spoke to and gave Apostle John a vision of what had happened before, what was presently happening during this time, and a future vision, which is what we are talking about now. Can you imagine a threefold vision that God gave John? And he happens to see these things. Lord, have mercy upon us that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. John saw it. He looked at also a city that could not be hid. He saw these things. He saw everything that God gave him. But our focus here this morning is the great white throne judgment. And that is the consummation of all things. The battle of Armageddon. Everything comes in to the final judgment. When someone says final, that means that it's the end of all things.
Yes.
Are you listening to what I'm saying here? So read the next verse, Minister Gordon.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life.
Now listen to what Minister Gloria is saying. The small and the dead stand before God. Well, I asked a question. Well, where are these people coming from? They're coming from the place that called hell. And a lot of folks go around telling people, oh, go to hell. But I want to tell you, they don't know what they're saying, because once you're in hell, you cannot get out until God calls you out for a final judgment. And Minister Glory, it is so important here that everything is being delivered.
Yes.
Everything is being brought up before. If folks that have drowned in the ocean, whatever it means, bodies have not been found in the sea, wherever it is, this final judgment, you will stand before God. You want to read?
And the dead were judged out of those things which was written in the books, according to their works.
Well, now, the scripture tells us that the sea gave up the dead. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And death and hell were delivered up. Now, understand, death and hell, that is Hades. That's where those folks that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where they went. And now they are being called up. But this is a final judgment. It is after the 1,000-year reign. And as I said before, I don't say this with a great deal of joy, because every one of us have the opportunity. And if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God that you have and are living for him today. But those that have not, when they exit this natural world, go into a place called Hades or hell, going without Christ, going into a Christless eternity. And the rich man was very careful when he said, well, listen, he lifted his eyes up in hell and he was being tormented. Oh my God, there's so much that goes on in that place where he was being tormented. He had memory. I said he had memory. He remembered his brothers, and he didn't want his brothers to come there or to be brought into a place of torment. Let me tell you something today. This judgment, God loves us all. But the whole point is that he sent his son to bring deliverance or salvation to those that would believe and receive his son. So Minister Glory, the verse of scripture there at that great white throne there where the small and the great was standing before God, standing before God to be judged according to their works. I said according to their works. You can sit in your easy chair. You can do the things that you feel that is okay. You can go to church but have not received the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you today, listen to me very carefully. If you have not while you have breath in your body on this side. Receive Jesus. I beg of you, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the Spirit of the living God that will bring forth conviction to you to let you know that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for you. Open up your heart and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. Now, Minister Glory, these people, the wicked dead is what is considered. I said the wicked dead, those that were brought up from heaven. There's a verse of scripture that says, and the sea gave up the dead. Did you read
that? Yes. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them.
Listen, so the sea gave up the dead, death and hell. See, hell is not the final step. And where the rich man was is not the final place. The final place is that you will stand before God. And when you stand before God, God's going to judge you. That's what it is. It's the final judgment. And he's going to look at what's going on and open up these books. These books will open, praise God. And let me tell you something. You may think that you're getting away with something, but you're not, because everything is being recorded. Everything. I remember reading in Malachi 3 and verse 16, where it talks about that there's a book of remembrance. We all that feared the Lord, that feared God, everything was being recorded. That is something that we don't understand. Everything during the course of the day, everything that you and I are doing is being recorded. This is why when you stand before God, he knows everything. He knows everything. Everything that we're doing. So, Minister Gloria, the sea gave up the dead. That means that folks that drowned, whatever it is that died in the sea or in the ocean, God is all powerful.
Yes, he is. He's awesome.
And the sea gave up the dead that were in them. And death and hell were delivered up to be judged. To be judged.
Every man according to their works.
According to their work. Lord, have mercy. And the books were open.
Yeah, the books were open.
Praise God, the books were open. In this particular situation here, people have questioned, well, why is there a book of life there? Said books were open, and then another book was open, which is the book of life. Well, let me explain something to you. If you appear at this great white throne judgment, your name is not in that book, the book of life. Everyone that stands there to be judged will be judged for condemnation. My God, my God. Go ahead.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
This is a spiritual death here now. This is, you don't have to die twice. I said you don't have to die twice. Only once. But you choose to die twice. Spiritual death, because you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Where were they
cast? Into the lake of fire.
One is, I find it extremely difficult. I cannot even fathom the idea of a lake of fire. I know what the scripture says. A lake of fire, which is the second death. Is there, now, if the rich man was being tormented there in hell, in that temporary place there, because that's what it was, and how I know that's what it was, because the scripture tells us that the sea gave up the dead, and death and hell were delivered up. So that means everybody that were in hell were delivered up for final judgment.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire. This is why there's no time to play church. There's no time to look religious. The only thing that one can tell you is that give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you won't show up in this place. You will be in the presence of God Almighty. Praise God. Praise God. Well, there's much more to discuss about this final judgment, but our time has slipped away, and we just want to make certain that we do not close out this broadcast without extending an invitation to you. And you can be whoever you are out there that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Have the opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. Minister Glory, would you explain?
Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.